Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Ready or not, fall is in the air, and we should be thankful for this because we know what's coming in a few months. Enjoy at least when it's over 50. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. We're just so thankful to have each and every one of you with us today. One of the things we do every single week is we welcome those who are listening to our podcast throughout the course of the week online. And so let's give just a warm welcome to all of those who will be listening online later this week. Well, today is actually a really exciting day. Some of you may actually know what it is. You probably saw some balloons and wondering kind of what's going on. I am not turning 4 years old today, despite popular opinion. But today is actually the day that we're celebrating Lifeway's fourth birthday. And so, for those of you that are really technical, it was actually Friday the 21st, but we're just so thankful about what God is doing in our church family. Actually, since we started, we have had 63 people that have taken their faith public and obeyed the scriptures and chose to be baptized, and so 63 times that's happened since we've launched. We've had and I know it's more than this, we can only count the ones that actually turn a card in. We've had 274 people say yes to Jesus for the first time over the course of the last 4 years. And then over 550 times people have recommitted their lives to follow Jesus. And I'm just so thankful about what God is doing here. And so you can't have a birthday, at least this is what my wife says, you can't have a birthday without cake, and that's impossible. So as you exit today, off to your right, we've got a whole bunch of cupcakes and bottled water, so make sure you take that because I don't want that to be the only thing I get to eat this week, all right? So please take a cupcake with you and enjoy that with us here this morning. We're just really thankful for you, and Shyla and I consider it a great honor to work alongside of so many of you every single week, and we're just thankful how many of you are thankful God isn't finished with you yet? Amen. And so we've got great things in store for us, and so just looking forward to what the future holds. Just a little teaser. I know everybody's favorite series is coming up. We're going to be talking more about it next week, but actually 3 weeks from today, we'll be starting at the movies. And so I just want to give you just a little, this wasn't in my notes to talk about, just give you a little kind of start thinking about the people that you're going to ask to come, and it's going to be super, super incredible. If you've never been here for At the Movies, what we do is we take Hollywood movies and we take clips of them, and from them we kind of reveal scriptural and biblical truths out of these films. In fact, when Jesus walked the earth, one of the things that he did most often is he told stories, because people can understand stories, and so the best storytellers really in the world today are those that make movies. And so we're going to just take some of those stories and draw some things out. And I know that we always get excited about it, and it's going to be a great time. So this morning, though, we're going to just jump right in. We're going to continue our series, Follow Me. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, Follow Me. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, Follow Me. You might be saying, well, I'm not following you. It depends on where you're going, right? Like if you're going out to eat after service and you're buying, I'll follow you, right? And so why is it important that we become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? And I believe that the reason why is because when we are fully engaged followers of him, we actually influence the world around us. As we say yes to following Jesus, there's some things that begin to happen. Our homes get to be more peaceful. How many of you could use some more peace in your home, right? Our homes become more peaceful. Our marriages improve. Our job performance actually raises to another level. You begin walking around with a clarity and with godly wisdom that literally begins to change the world in which you live. And so as influencers, as leaders, we become a voice, a light in a dark world, promoting the greatness of God. And so you were called, all of us in this room, you were called to be a leader. You were called to be an influencer. And so I want you to say this, repeat after me. I am called. Come on, say it. I am called. Say it like you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 7 touchdowns. I am called. All right? To lead people to Jesus. Come on, you got a little weak there. To lead people to Jesus. And so you might be sitting here thinking, well, I'm not a pastor. I never went to Bible college. How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to lead someone to Christ? Some of us in this room, we struggle to say yes to this call because, you know, we feel that we don't have enough knowledge. How many of you ever thought that? You know, I probably should say something, but I just don't know enough. And then there are others of us in this room that we struggle because we've only seen bad evangelism. How many of you have ever seen bad evangelism? You know, it's like, you need to repent or you're going to hell later tonight, right? And I'll help you pack on the way, right? Come on, we've heard evangelism right there, right? You know, and it's and that's not the, listen, your depth of biblical understanding isn't what draws people to Christ. It's definitely not bad evangelism that draws people to Christ. Instead, we lead people to Jesus by following the example that he gave us when he walked the earth. And so last week, we talked about how Jesus valued people. Today, we're going to look at how Jesus connected with people at a personal level. He served, and this value, this connection, this service to others allowed Jesus to have a level of influence that has never before and since been seen in the world. And so one of our key verses for this series, take out your Bible and follow along with us, Matthew 4, verse 19. Also in your sermon outlines, you can follow along with us, take some notes. But it says this, it says, Jesus called out to them and he said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And so what I want you to understand is that Jesus called these ordinary, imperfect young men to be his disciples. And they immediately walked away from everything to do it. And I believe the reason that they dropped everything is really still true today. And that is because people are looking for something great and consequential to be a part of. People are looking today for significance. They are looking today for meaning. They want their lives to matter for something. Every single one of us in this room at one point or another, we have been passed over for other more intelligent, more attractive, somebody said amen, right? More talented, more charismatic, more athletic people. We've been passed over for people who are more gifted. And Satan has done a remarkable job of getting us to believe that we are not good enough, that we're incapable, that we're imperfect, that we're broken, that we're unworthy. And that God could never use someone like you and I who's messed up so many times. And so when Jesus calls out to these young men who some of the scholars believe were still in their teen years, when he said, follow me, to these imperfect, uneducated, rough guys who were out working on a fishing boat, he immediately flipped the script on all of the untruths that society had told these men that they could and would become. And so what I want you to understand here this morning is that even though hundreds and thousands of years has passed since then, Jesus is still calling out this morning. He's still saying this morning, follow me. Would you follow me? Regardless of your faults, regardless of your doubts, your failures, your fears and worries, God is saying, if you'll follow me, I have put inside of you, the ability to change the world. Because you were created. I was created for a purpose. I see the potential and the greatness that is inside of you. And so today we're going to talk about connecting with people. Connecting with people. Now right away, some of you are probably like, okay, that's a problem because I don't really like people. They're annoying. Come on, let me see your hands, right? One man said, those people who think they know everything are a great annoyance to those of us who do. Another person said, the more I get to know people, the more I like my dog. Anybody have someone in your life that's difficult? Come on, let me see you raise your hand. All right? Are they sitting next to you? Seated next to you right there? No, that was a trick question, all right? That was a trick question. Man, some of you fell for it. You're in trouble later. We'll have special prayer. Just come up to the front at the end of service here, all right? People are difficult. People are annoying. People driving their cars on the freeway are annoying. If you don't agree with that statement, you're probably the difficult one, all right? But when Jesus walked the earth, he went out of his way to connect with people and to meet with them right where they were at, right where they lived. John Maxwell wrote a book entitled Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. It's a great title. So many people are talking, right, just incessantly, that, but there's very little connection that's going on. And in the book, he states that one trait that all great connectors share is, this is the first blank in your outline, is this: it's that they find common ground with others. They find common ground with others. If you want to really connect with people, you've got to go where they're at and you've got to find common ground. I don't know, maybe you've heard this old leadership adage that's been repeated often. It kind of goes like this: it's lonely at the top. How many of you ever heard that, right? It's lonely at the top. And it carries with it this connotation of a leader standing all by themselves at the top of the mountain, and they're just kind of peering down in there, and they're sort of looking down. But listen, I want you to hear me this morning. That statement is incorrect, because in order to be a leader, there must be what? Followers. And someone that is standing alone is not leading anyone, right? A person who's lonely at the top is not really a leader. They're probably just a person out on a hike, right? And so a true leader is one who is involved in what is going on, one who's in the middle of the lives of those that they lead. And so this picture of being involved is really what we see throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus was a connector. I want to share some ways that Jesus connected. The next blank in your outline, you can fill this in. Number one is, Jesus initiated relationships. He initiated relationships. One day while he was taking a break, scripture says that he had been traveling for a long time. They had been on a long journey. Jesus initiated a conversation with the woman at the well. And although he was tired, he would not miss the opportunity to minister to her needs. So Jesus initiated relationships. Number two is, Jesus didn't allow prejudice to affect his relationships. He didn't allow prejudices to sway who he would and who he would not talk to. In fact, the Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus spending time with documented sinners and those that society despised. Even one of his disciples, Matthew, was a former tax collector, and tax collectors were hated in that day. And so Jesus didn't allow those prejudices to affect his relationship. Number three, Jesus showed forgiveness in his relationships. Over and over, we read how Jesus forgave people. He showed mercy and forgiveness to the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And not only did he forgive her, but he rushed to her defense. So Jesus showed forgiveness. The fourth thing Jesus did is, Jesus confirmed that relationships are more important than legalism and tradition. So many Christians are so legalistic. They're so tied to their traditions that they actually do more harm than good for the cause of Christ. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and this upset the religious leaders of that day. They were indignant that he would break their religious traditions and break their interpretations of the law. And in their petty arguments, I want you to watch this, they missed the fact that the Messiah that they had been long looking for was standing right in their midst. And so Jesus confirm that relationships are more important than legalism and tradition. Number five, Jesus developed relationships even in the last moments of his life. Up until the very end, he cared about others. He cared about their needs. He built relationships. I want you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes, if you could, just for a moment. After being up, kept up all night after being falsely accused, after being tortured, after being brutally beaten as he hung on the cross in intense agony. Scripture tells us that there were nails through his wrists and nails through his feet. He's hanging on this tree, and even then he ministered to one of the thieves that was crucified by his side. Jesus valued relationships. He was never too busy. He was never too tired. So it's important that we remember that. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, there's a great passage that really shows us how Jesus demonstrated this follow me and connect with people principle. It says this, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So the next thing I want to point out to you, the first thing I want you to see, number one, is that Jesus went. He connected physically. He connected physically with people. He went to where they were at. And oftentimes, he would touch them. You know, it'd be so easy, right, if any of us were Jesus, you know, to come down to earth and he'd say, man, I'm the Son of God. I left heaven for all you hosers, right? You know, I left heaven. I came down here. You guys come and find me. You come to my house. You come to where I'm saying. No. He went out to where people were at. The entire Gospels, Jesus is always moving around and he's rubbing shoulders with people. He's eating with them. He's talking with them. He's meeting their needs. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is this, is if I am a follower of Christ, am I going out to where the people are? If I'm a follower of Christ, am I going out to where the people are? Going on, verse 36, it says this, when he saw, everybody say saw. When he saw the crowds. Number two, Jesus saw. He connected visually with people. As he walked amongst the crowds, it wasn't just that he was out there with a whole bunch of people, but he saw their hurts. He saw their needs. And the question that we need to consider is that when we are in the midst of those who don't know Jesus is, how do I see them? How do I look at them? Do I see them as having value? Am I seeing them not in their current messy condition, but am I seeing them through the loving eyes of our Savior? Going on, it says this, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And the third thing we notice is this. Number three is that Jesus felt. He connected emotionally with people. He felt compassion for them. He was concerned about the state of their lives. And so the question we should ask ourselves when we see people who don't know Jesus, who are lost, we need to ask is, what am I feeling? Do I even care? Is my heart even being moved by their condition? Jesus connected emotionally. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Verse 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. The last thing we see demonstrated is that, number four, Jesus prayed. He connected spiritually. He went to where the people were at. He saw them. He saw them in the condition that they were. He felt he was connected emotionally to their needs. And then after seeing all of this, he tells his disciples, he tells the people around him as this is being written, he says, guys, we've got to pray. There's so much need. How are we going to be able to reach them? The need is plenteous. Lord, send us workers. And so the question we need to ask is this, is am I praying for those around me that do not know Jesus? Do I care if they're ready to meet him in eternity? Am I praying that God would send me and others to meet the needs of those who are hurting and broken around us? Have you looked around you lately? Have you stopped long enough through the busy parts of your week and day to just simply listen with spiritual ears to the hurt and the pain that we're surrounded by at school, at work, in the grocery store? Listen, we live in a world that is hurting and broken, and so we need to pray and say, God, would you send laborers, because the need is so great. To connect with people, we must go to where they are. We must see them as they are. We must feel compassion for their condition, and we must pray. Everybody say pray. That's why I love 21 Days of Prayer. We do it twice a year. Is it gives us just an opportunity to just come around together and focus on the same thing and pray together. In fact, I was having a pretty challenging day early this week. I think it was Tuesday, and I had just, I didn't have time to do my devotion first, but I had a whole bunch of just bad things happen. And so it was just a tough day. And so I pulled out the 21 days of prayer. And how many of you know there's no coincidence with God, right? And the verse for this week was, for I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I tell you, just that one little sentence on that page just brought tears to my eyes, and God was beginning to speak to me and encourage me and challenge me. It's so important that we pray. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, Paul wrote this great passage about having the attitude of Christ. How many of you want to have the attitude of Christ, right? How about having the attitude of Christ? And I think he really gives us some clues on how to connect with people. We're going to actually look at this in the Message paraphrase version of the Bible. Verse 1 starts with 5 questions, all right? And so I want you to think about these, and I want you to respond. So just kind of like, yes, like you would at a wedding or some type of ceremony, all right? So I want you to think about these and respond as I read. Number 1, have you gotten anything at all out of following Christ? All right, thank you, Deb. All right, she's in. All right, number 2, has his love made a difference in your life? Does being in a community of the Spirit mean anything to you? Do you have a heart? That's debatable. Just kidding. All right, I couldn't, sorry. Number 5, do you care? Yes, the answer to all of these questions, right, is yes. So Paul ends this list of rhetorical questions by asking, if all of these are yes, if so, then do me a favor. And then he proceeds to share what I believe are 3 connecting challenges. Let's look at them. Going on, it says this: agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. The first connecting challenge is this: we need to, number 1, develop strong relationships. Develop strong relationships. And I want you to hear me this morning. That's why we want you to attend a life group. That's why we want you to get on a serve team here at the Lifeway. If we're going to succeed as followers of Jesus, we must build relationships with one another. And so if Christ has done all of those things that we just agreed to and said yes to, the byproduct of that is that we develop strong relationships both inside the church and outside of the church. John Maxwell teaches what he refers to as the 101% principle. And it's this: find the 1% that you agree on and give it 100% of your effort. And I've been amazed in my Christian journey how many people and how many Christians do the exact opposite thing, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, they find the 1% that they don't agree on. So they can agree about everything in this book. There's like 5 verses that they don't agree on. And so they spend 100% of their time trying to prove that the other person is wrong. They walk around thinking, well, I'm good because, man, I've got a deeper revelation. I'm more holy. I'm better than you. And so when it comes to connecting with people, watch this. The next fill in your blank is this: your most important ability is likability. How many of you like to like your coworkers, right? How many of you like go, oh my, they hire someone, you're like, man, I can't stand this. This is going to be rough, and it's like their third day on, right? We our most important ability is likability. And so following Jesus, living a Christ-like life, means being like Christ. And so as you read through the Gospels, there were throngs of people, there were crowds, there were multitudes around Jesus who took days off of work. They traveled. They would hear he was coming. They'd run out of the house. They wouldn't even bring lunch. And then hours and hours later, they're sitting there like, man, I'm getting hungry. Jesus, can you do something about this, right? I mean, they did everything they could. They clamored to get to and hear Jesus. Why? Because he was likable. People wanted to be around him. So can I challenge those of you who are followers of Christ in this room? If you're a follower of Jesus, for goodness sakes, put a smile on your face. Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Would somebody please tell your face that? That's free. But if you'll put a smile on your face, you'll be amazed at the difference that it'll make in your life. You'll be amazed at the difference it'll make in the lives of people around you. We need to develop strong relationships. Going on, Paul says it this way. Don't push your way up to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. That sounds just like the world we live in, doesn't it? No. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. The second connecting challenge is this, number two. Put others first. Put others first. In other words, serve them. Lose yourself. Set aside your agenda in order to help someone else. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about serving people. I believe this is going to be an eternity-altering message. I'm so pumped. So make sure you're here next week. Make sure you bring someone with you next week. But serve others. Serve others. God has called us to serve others. I remember it was about 10 years or so ago. We surprised the boys, and we took them to Florida so they could go to Disney World. And so we went online even and kept it all a secret. And they had this little thing where you could type their names in. And then at the end of the video, it would say, you know, Josiah Seth and Ethan, you're going to Disney World. And, you know, Josiah liked it. Ethan couldn't even read then. Seth, I don't even know if he knew what Disney World was at that time or not. But we had saved the money. We planned. And so we flew to Orlando. We spent a day at Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. I mean, we went on Space Mountain. We went on the Toy Story ride and the Bugs Life show. We saw the amazing parades and the incredible fireworks and Tinkerbell flying. Anybody ever seen Tinkerbell fly at Disney? Right? You know, it's really cool. It was a great time. And on that trip, we went out of our way to really give them a trip of a lifetime. And so when we got on the plane, we made the journey back home. I want you to know that not one of our kids came up to Shiloh and I said, you know what, Mom and Dad? You worked so hard providing that trip for us. Let me serve you for a change. No. They didn't do that because they were little. And you know what? That's okay because they were immature. They were young. They didn't know any better. But guess what? I'm worried about people who are 20, 25, 30, 35 years of age who behave the same way. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, bless me here. I need a new job. I need a new car. I need a new boo. Whatever it is that you need. Give me the blessings. Bless me, God. And God, in his kindness and in his goodness, gives us so much stuff. Can I just be honest? We don't deserve most of the stuff we have. Yet we'll have the audacity to come into God's house and stand there and say, well, I can't serve. You can't be serious, God. I can't do that. I'm too busy with all the blessings you put in my life. You want me to serve in kids' wear? Are you crazy, God? You want me to serve in the parking team? You know we live in Wisconsin, don't you, God? And it gets cold. I don't want to stand out there and wave at people. God, you bless me too much. I don't even have time to invest 4 hours a week to serve your kingdom. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, watch this, I put away childish things. And I love every single one of you in this room, but there are some of us, we need to raise our level of spiritual maturity. We need to grow from being a child and become an adult. We need to learn that God has called us to serve others. And you might be saying, well, it's hard to serve others. They're difficult. It's messy. It's frustrating. Guess what? You're right. But listen, I want you to catch this. God's promotions often occur when we get busy in kingdom work and selflessly serve others. The key, the missing piece to that promotion, the missing piece to the dream that you would love to have fulfilled in your life is often unlocked when we begin serving others. So how do we connect with people? We build strong relationships. We put others first. Here's the last connecting challenge, number three. We need to think like Jesus. Think like Jesus. You may say, well, I don't know how Jesus thinks. Let's read on in Philippians. This is what it says. Think of yourself the way Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. As incredible as that is, having become human, he stayed human. I think most of us, if we were up in heaven, if we were God, we'd come down to earth. Yeah, this sounds like we get down. Oh, God, I'm out of here, right? But no, he stayed there. He stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then he died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Here's the last thing I want you to write down this morning. Jesus thought that connecting with people was more important than declaring his rights and claiming his privileges. I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus gave up everything for you. He gave up everything for me. And God is asking this morning, will you lay down your personal pursuits and rights long enough to follow me? In early 2010, I read a book by a church planner that would change my life. It was written by a man named Matt Keller. Some of you know Matt Keller because we played one of his messages earlier. I think it was earlier this year, maybe last fall. Later that year, we attended his church. He was hosting a church planner's boot camp, and he and his wife, Sarah, taught us so much. I mean, they made such a tremendous impact on mine and Shiloh's life. In 2016, we attended a conference. This conference had over 3,000 people in attendance. It was chaos. Like, you can't even walk through the hall. I mean, it is nuts, crazy. And I'll never forget the moment when Matt Keller, some 6 years after we had first met him, singled me out in this entire crowd of people, and he walked right up to me. He looked me right in the eye and gave me one of his trademark ear-to-ear grins. He gave me a big hug. He goes, hey, man, how's it going? By this time, what I want you to understand is Matt's church had grown to a couple of thousand people. They had multiple locations. He's an incredibly busy man. But he went out of his way to connect with me, a pastor who, you know, at that time our church was like 70 people. And so in that conversation, he encouraged me and he built me up and he invited me to be a part of his coaching network that he has for pastors. And so I joined it. And you've heard me talk about this over the last 2 years. I've been privileged to sit under his leadership. Every month he's investing things that have, you know, helped me become a better man and a better husband, a better father, and a better pastor. And not only that, he's invested so much into helping us build a church here in West Dallas. I mean, he's allowed, he's encouraged, he's given us access to his staff. In fact, Samantha sat through one of his staff members' training courses. And in this past summer, I realized that I personally didn't have a pastor in my life. And I'll just, before I go on the story, let me just pause here and say this. You know, you may be visiting the Lifeway. This may not be your church home. Listen, we all need a pastor. All of us in this room, we need, I don't have to be it, but you need to find a body to belong to and have a pastor that can speak into your life. But I didn't have a pastor in my life for reasons that were beyond my control. I didn't have a spiritual father or active or a pastor in my life. And so I set up an appointment to talk with him. And when I shared with him what I was looking for, his response was, he said, Andrew, I'm humbled to serve you in this way. I'm honored I'm humbled and honored that you would think that much of me. He said, Andrew, I'll make myself available to you in any way possible. So what I want you to understand is here he is, this pastor of a large, dynamic, growing church. Matt serves on the lead team for ARC. He is a super busy guy. The guy runs a schedule. I don't even know how he survives for a year. That's how busy he is. And when I think back to the night of that conference, there were probably a lot of guys in that room that he could have talked to, leaders that could have helped him with whatever problems that he was facing in his church. But instead, he chose to seek me out. He developed a strong relationship. He put me first. He served me. He literally left a VIP seating area to come to where I was sitting at. He was approachable. He came to my level. He reached me where I was at. Well, why would he do that? For no other reason than he cares about church planters. He loves pastors. And here's the point. If you're going to truly follow Jesus, if you're going to connect with him, you've got to develop strong relationships. You've got to put others first. You've got to begin to think like Jesus thought. Our other key verse for this series is found in Luke 9:23. Jesus said it this way: if any of you wants to be my follower. I believe that so many of us in this room want to be his follower. You must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. I want you to hear me. God does want to bless you. But following Jesus also carries with it the demand of picking up a cross. Your cross, it looks different for each and every one of us. But I will say this, across the board, it does mean this. It means not staying where you currently are at. It's moving forward. It's activating your faith. So many of us have become so busy seeking the blessings of God that we've forgotten that God has called us to fulfill a role in his kingdom, in his church. When I was growing up, we used to sing an old song in church, an old chorus. That's the old-fashioned word for just a song that has one part. You just sing it over and over again. I don't know if it has verses. I only ever heard the chorus. But the words are so poignant to this message. The words said, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, God, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you, God, my very best, help me remember Calvary's cost and be willing to say yes. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is gently asking some of you, probably all of us in this room this morning, is your sacrifice today less than your best? I believe there's some of us in this room, our priorities are all out of alignment. Jesus Christ gave everything. So we need to resurrender our lives and begin to truly follow him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus. Listen, God wants to give you a new life. And there's a great deal for all of us. He'll take all of the junk, all of the garbage, all of the mistakes, and give you a brand new, a fresh start. He'll give you a clean slate this morning. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're tired of carrying around that baggage, if you're tired of carrying around your sin and you want a new beginning, let me tell you, you can have that here this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's where you are, I want to pray for you. And so if you're ready to commit, if you're maybe ready for the first time to say, you know what, I say yes to you, Jesus. Or maybe you're sitting here and you've already made that commitment to follow him, but if you're being honest, you've just drifted away. You're not giving your best, so you're ready to maybe recommit your life to Jesus. Listen, I just want you to raise your hand right now so I can pray for you. Is there anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, we thank you that it challenges us. And Lord God, I know that some messages aren't the easiest messages to hear. But Lord God, I pray that you'd let this word settle in your heart, in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord God, for every person, Lord God, that's lifted their hand, that is either committing or recommitting their life to Jesus, Lord, we just turn it all over to you. We give it to you, Lord God. We thank you for new life today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us, Lord God. We thank you for making us clean. And Lord Jesus, right now, I receive what you did for me at Calvary. Wash me and cleanse me. Lord God, I pray for us as a church, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord, to connect with people, that we would physically touch people, Lord God, that we would visually see where they're at, Lord God, that we would connect emotionally, Lord God, that we would connect spiritually, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would do the things that you've done, Lord Jesus, Lord God, that we would begin to think like you think, Lord Jesus. Lord God, forgive us of seeking the blessing more than seeking you. And Lord God, we just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.